Right now, it's time to bring in the guy. Last report of 2017, as we head towards 2018, ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you right now Jim Lynch, an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, whatever, bringing over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice that booms, Jim Lynch.
And don't worry, anything that has not been said will be made up as we go along.
You just touched on it, not from you, but I had said to Marshall, because Morning Edition on NPR has this, they've got this thing where you're voting on your favorite story.
They've set up a bracket like the NCAA bracket where you picked what's going to come out to be the top story.
So what's terrific about that is it's all made, you know, a good portion of it's made up. So you're picking up your favorite thing. Like, I like Once Upon a Time.
Here's the whole thing of this bracket thing. And I looked at it and, you know, I said to myself, it wouldn't be a bad idea, except it trivializes the stories that they're talking about. But you can look in each, unlike in the NCAA brackets, Jim, you can have North Carolina in one bracket, you can have Villanova, UConn, all in different baskets. But you can't have, like, North Carolina in four different brackets. But with these brackets, with stories, you can put Donald Trump in every single bracket.
Right.
and he can still end up losing, but he's in every single bracket.
But so what annoyed you more? It just makes
But you know what really annoys me? You know what's going to win, Jim? You know what's going to win, don't you? The Me Too bracket.
Me Too.
The Me Too bracket's going to win.
Hashtag
Boy,
Me Too.
It must be very cold up there.
It is cold.
And by the way, because that was AP's favorite, top story.
Time.
Time chose Me Too as the person of the year. Yeah. I didn't know a movement was a person, but that's okay. And then AP decided that sexual misconduct was the story of the year. And what's fabulous, I'm being facetious about all of that, is anybody who knows anything about journalism, anything, and tabloids, knows that for years the purpose of tabloids is to sell this stuff. It's like, yeah, that's the fun stuff to read. Who wants to read about the economics of Uzbekistan? Right?
That's right.
Who cares?
Distraction, entertainment.
Yeah. And
it really pervades our culture.
But it's also now pervaded of, you know, I hate to use the word serious, but it's the way that serious stuff is being packaged is fully in the info entertainment mode. What do you like? What do you want to hear?
See, the thing is, I noticed when I hit my internet to begin the, whenever I'm beginning, there's so much of this personal stuff about these celebrities. It makes you wonder, are the internet folks telling us we don't have lives, or are we creating our lives through these stories? That's a segue to something I was thinking just before I got on about the way we live our lives. And we live our lives sometimes really not living our lives because we're not present with what we're doing. We're somehow off in the distance, worrying or, daydreaming about winning a horse race or something. Or we're caught in the past where we're worried and concerned over past actions or upset. And in this day and age, it's very difficult but very important that we remain present with our own reality, not necessarily the reality right around us, but starting with the reality of ourselves. Because, as I've said a few times in the last several hundred years, your main asset is yourself, and the development of that asset is important to keep it vibrant and alive and creative and, frankly, having fun. If you spend too much time in the past or in the future worrying or being concerned, you're not having much fun. But if you just stay in the present, you can experience the beauty, the happiness of people around you, the children, the spirit of the day, etc.
The dogs, the cats, you're absolutely. One of the things that essentially so much screenage has discouraged is the attachment or the actual literal connection to one's own life, because it's all being judged in a funny way or compared to what you're reading on the screen. Or it's just like, is this upsetting me? Is this this? And once your mind's there, it's really difficult to look at the way the whisker is twirled and go, isn't that hilarious?
Well, one of the things that always comes up for me when I hear myself or others talking about things like this is processes that we might use in a very pleasurable way to help us in our attentiveness and our awareness, and that is just reading the old-fashioned book. And by the way, I don't take away the Kindle or anything like that. I myself am not very good at that. I know others who are very good at it. But the idea of reading and immersing yourself in that story to learn helps. Our technology is such, and God bless it, and God bless us for having this great technology. It's really fantastic vis-a-vis communication, experimentation, etc. But the driver behind this is really us, and the driver behind robotics and eventually more robots is the human brain. Once we lose touch of that, we lose touch of what is really important. As we're going into 2018, I think it's very good. I do my best to do it, and I'm certainly not perfect at it, to remember, really, and be thankful for the tremendous blessings we've had during the year, starting with our own lives and the lives of our children. And I'm certain the experiences that many of you had during Hanukkah and the Christmas season, of the glee of a kid or an adult, or of someone telling a story from years ago and everybody laughing and this and that. This is irreplaceable stuff, okay?
Yeah, you can't. There's not an app for that.
Pardon me?
There's not an app for that.
No, there's not an app for that. And it can only be captured in the heart. You got to let it get through the brain and into your the solar plexus of you, your spirit. I always go back to kids, maybe because I never wanted to grow up. That's what some people tell me. Anyhow, it's just amazing that there's this little person comes in, grows, experiments, falls on their behind, gets up, goes forward, and all of a sudden they're young men and women. And wow, what a miracle. Anyhow, folks, let's continue on with something that we have that we now should focus on in terms of 1918, as in 2018. You caught me there, Marshall.
We both sat up straight and looked at each other.
That's just part of your many years of knowledge.
I love you. Anyhow, cover your assets. You know, you're the asset, right? So let's shine you up and make you pretty and make you feel good and give you strength and fortitude. We've had a tax plan now. It's been put out, and it's confusing to most people. I'm certain it's. I share that in terms of I haven't put pencil to paper and trying to figure out the various things in it, because it's not clear what's in it. But there was one thing that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention. The big thing is, unless your income tax is overly simplistic, you really need to get the advice of an accountant. Secondly, if you have a business and it's just a regular old business or a partnership or whatever, and you've heard this word pass-through, which is part of the tax bill, and which some politicians are raving about, oh, it's going to help the small guy. Some people, myself included, are not so sure that it just helps the small guy. Definitely helps the big guy. But it's very complicated when it gets down to the individual small business. So the key is use your time to get in touch with an accountant or your accountant. Do it now rather than 3 months from now. And figure out what are the advantages or disadvantages of this bill or of this law. I beg your pardon. It's been signed into law. And work on that early in the year to help you prosper, one, or to help you in avoiding any mistakes which could cost you time, etc. The other thing is, as we go into 18, like all of the years, because it's always said, you know, it's going to be a great year, true, and it's also going to be a year of challenges. That said, we have to understand that we have to make our own way regardless of what's going on in D.C. As I said, one, you have an accountant to help you in that area. The key is, as I said earlier, to remain present. And just a couple of things for 18, which I would hope folks would take a peek at being maybe being 1 to 3 resolutions, where you can make one resolution and just wind things around them, is your health. And your health comes in, good health is good practice, be it an enjoyable yoga session, good eating, which doesn't discount some nice desserts, and a regular schedule of activities whereby you're not always rushing to get something done and in the process make yourself uncomfortable. Simplicity, I think, has always been a great key to people who have lived healthy lives, including the people who've made a lot of money or have been very successful in art and so forth, in that they create goals and the mechanics to achieve the goals, and then just, without a lot of judgment on it, just go and do the work. I'm certain many artists who've written or have painted have gone back to the brush many times to improve upon things. But my sense is they improve upon things with a certain joy of discovery. And I think that's the way we should approach our lives in terms of new things. I also think in 18, you ought to create something that says, I'm going to do this one new thing this year that I might never have done before, puts me off a little bit, whatever. Maybe it's learning a language. There are all kinds of ways now to simplify learning language. And learning language really opens up new vistas, because eventually, if you do it seriously, you discover things historically that you might not have known, et cetera, et cetera. Anyhow, the world is one's oyster. And
can I ask you a question around this? Because one of the things that kept me mildly amused during the last couple of days was the inability of a certain family member of mine not to live in the moment. I mean, basically, this person has hacked off the first quarter of 18. And all I could think of was, and this is why I raise it to you, how do you get someone who is just doesn't know how anymore to be, sorry, it's trite, be here now, just see what happens, to at least slow their roll enough to try it?
Well,
just any advice. It's just like, whatever you say can't hurt.
Let me say this. It's a huge question, and one size doesn't fit all for any and all of us. But I think the way that one begins is by expressing oneself to the other person with an open heart in terms of, gee, you're not talking too much today, or... But it's got to be done in a very empathic, gentle way. And I don't think there's any magic in this, in the sense that there's no process or procedure, because the individual who has been withdrawing, they probably have some reasons for withdrawing, some of which might be self-preservation, some of which might be fear, anxiety, low self-worth. And those are not things that you can pick out of the air and say, okay, here's the solution. But coming from your heart, in whatever way that is the key. The other key, and of course there are many keys, and these are things just popping into my mind, is acceptance. Accept the person as they are. It's very simple. You just accept them. You know, hello, goodbye, come on over here, let's have a cup of tea, without any, gee, why don't you engage? Wow, why don't you pick the kids up and give them a kiss? Why aren't you more enthusiastic? That gets you nowhere. That would, in my opinion, solidify the withdrawal. So, one, you've got to come at this from your own self, and two, you just got to be open and relaxed to the person in terms of what they're going through. You know, sometimes people have got to go through things for a long time before they finally break out, whatever that means. Sometimes people don't, shall we say, come back from withdrawal. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of good things going on in and around that person. So I think you just have to be open and accepting, and not even patient. I don't think it's patient. I think love really does solve so much. So that's my two cents. It's certainly not an expert opinion.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with a little bit of love, joy, kindness, and kindness, love, joy, repeat. Rinse, what is it? Wash, rinse, repeat? Love, joy.
Unquestionably. I was in the a store the other day, and I was waiting online, and this old lady, even older than I, Marshall.
1918,
she said, oh, is this the right line? You know, normally this thing lines up over there. I said, no, this is your place. So I put her, you know, in front of me. And then, of course, we started chatting. And I forget her words, but she was basically saying, gee, it's nice to have a nondescript chat about what we were doing. You know, I like the kid and this, that, and the other thing. And it was a beautiful moment. And it made my day to a degree, made her day to a degree. And on we went. But the thing is, I did happen to say, you know, because she was saying, you know, it's rare that you run into people who kind of want to chat a little and so forth, not knowing that big mouth always wants to chat. That said, I immediately went to the technology and how our younger people, and she concurred, are so enamored of it that they forget, sometimes who they are. And but that's something that I think has to be worked out very gently, because something's going on for us over 40 who probably don't realize what's going on. This technology thing, it's got a lot of wonderful things that are happening now and that will happen in the future. And we shouldn't try and get in the way of young people developing it. But we should try best we can to rein them in, to make sure they understand they've come this far with education and support and so forth. they can't run away from that into some kind of machine or technology or whatever. But, you know, back to this woman, you know, we were just going to stand in line like two mopes, just waiting for the thing to move and so forth. Instead, we had a good time.
And, well, Jim, that's the difference between you and me. Several years ago, Jill sent me into Fairway to get something, and I hadn't been in Fairway ever. This was many years ago, and I walked in, and she waited in the car. I walked in, and I got it. It was just one container of something, and I came, and I got in line. And as I got up to the register, people started yelling at me, and I realized, I looked behind, that the line went back about 30 or 40 people. And so...
around the dried pea aisle.
What did I do? This will block my entry into heaven. I don't have any doubt about
it. That's all right. This was 10 years ago.
I just went like this. I no speak English. And I paid for the thing, and I left really quickly.
And the reason,
but you're a bigger lad for it. You're a bigger lad for it.
He's confessing, so let's give him absolution for Christmas.
But I'm positive that when I go to the pearly gates, there's going to be one of those people in the line there saying, he cut the line.
There's going to be a mob, all right?
That's right.
It's not just from there.
He cut the line at Fairway.
Yeah. I believe that will be the least of your problems, but that's okay.
I don't know. I think that'll be the most of it. All right, Jim, we have about 30 seconds left.
Go Giants.
Okay. Well,
go Jets.
Let's have a wonderful 2018. And we've got it in us. Let's just move forward. And love yourself, take care of yourself, your kids, and all you know, and keep that smile on your face, because it only brings in a lot of happiness. Have a great one. Good to be with you.
Happy New Year.